grab a seat, you grab a handle, and open those handles. Psalm number 33. We can begin this morning service by singing Psalm number 33. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Thank you. 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, 5:30 p.m. on Sunday evenings. Thursdays at 7, we're going through 1 Kings 19. I'll still be in 1 Kings 19 this week as well. We've got the church-wide soul winning listed below that, as well as the salvations and baptisms, offering totals and attendance for the month and year. Over on the right-hand side, of course, happy Father's Day to all the fathers in attendance. And we've got the, you probably already know, the popcorn. You can smell it already. Staying warm back there. So we have the popcorn there for anybody that wants it. And then, of course, we'll be having root beer floats as well. So if we could just get, maybe a couple, brave volunteers that are not fathers to help with that after the service, we'll start serving those immediately. And then, of course, it's going to be fathers first. Okay, normally we let the ladies go first, but this is Father's Day, right? So the fathers are going to get first crack at the popcorn, first crack at the root beer floats, and then the rest of you non-fathers can, help yourselves, all right? So anyway, below that, we've also got the FWBC Tempe Mega Conference. Of course, this is starting today with Pastor Jared Porzarnski up there. He's preaching right now, in fact, or in a few moments anyway. But we do have Pastor Bruce Mejia is going to be there on Wednesday. The sign-up sheet is there. If you're planning on going, I would really ask that you sign up, especially this week, just because I'm having van issues. I'm having issues with the van right now. It stalled out twice on the way here, so I've got to get that into the mechanic. But that's not going to stop us. If people want to go, I will go rent a van if I don't get it back in time. So, but I got to know if you want to go. So if you're planning on going, please sign up back there. The sheet is on the left-hand side near the water cooler. And don't forget, we're going to leave promptly at 5 p.m. today. So at 5 p.m., we're pulling out. On Wednesday, rather. So that's going to be on Wednesday. And then also, we've got the FWBC Tucson's third annual church camp that's going to be taking place, next week. Not this coming week, but the following. You got the dates there. We've got the address and the location and the name of it right there. So take note of that if you're planning on going. It's going to be a 2:30 p.m. check-in on Monday. So you can't get in any earlier at 2:30. So you got to wait until 2:30. Now, if you still want to go, there is space. It's getting limited. But I did leave a lot of wiggle room so people can kind of adjust their situation when they get there, so we can kind of get a feel for this camp before we try to, maximize the space. So there is some space available. So if anyone wants to go, it's not too late to sign up and make accommodations for you, but please do that sooner rather than later, because I'm going to start, ordering a lot of things this week for camp. So it'd be nice to know who's coming and who isn't. Also, if you decide not to go and your name's already on there, do me a favor and cross it out and let me know too. Then also below that, we've got the Mexico Monday. Of course, next month is postponed until the following Monday. Typically, it's on the 1st because that's on the 4th. And then we've got the weekly Bible memory passage. And you're already getting the floats, kids. I don't know if you really need to double dip today, but, I'll leave that between you, your parents, and your physician. So you decide what you want to do with that, but that's that. And we'll go ahead and sing one more song before we get into preaching this morning.
Yeah.
Amen. So again, happy Father's Day to everybody. I do want to preach a Father's Day message. And of course, I'll try my best to make sure I apply it to everybody. And normally when you preach one of these, you know, obligatory sermons, you know, the Mother's Day, the Father's Day, you're either going to preach at the fathers or the mothers, or you're going to preach for the fathers and for the mothers. And at least that's what I've done in the past. And I found that it goes a lot more smoothly if I preach for the fathers and for the mothers, that they seem to appreciate that more. And really, that's what's needed on a day like today, is to get on the side of the parents, because, you know, they have they're working against the world in many instances. They're working against you know, a lot of other ungodly influences that are trying to get into their homes and influence their children and their youth, and to cause them to adopt and develop, you know, philosophies that are counter to the Word of God. So it's always good for us to get up and to preach for the parents, for the mothers, for the fathers, to get on their sides and to remind us as children, as those that have parents, to be thankful for and to appreciate, you know, the parents that God has given us. And, you know, they'll get, you know, I'll preach at them the rest of the year. They can get it on every other Sunday. So anyway, I do want you to keep something there in Deuteronomy. We're going to come back later, but I'm going to have you go to several other places. But just giving you a heads up right now to go ahead and put a bookmark there. But look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. It says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So the Bible there is telling us that God is a faithful God, that God is someone who's going to keep covenant and mercy. This is something that he's going to do even into 1,000 generations, that when God says something, he means it. He's going to follow through. That's what it means to be faithful, to somebody who's going to be there and be consistent. And faithfulness is an attribute of God, but it's also, you know, an attribute that we, as, of course, all of God's people ought to have, but I'm going to apply it specifically today to fathers. You know, fathers are to be people who are faithful, and we should learn to appreciate our fathers if they are faithful in these areas. You know, these are, you know, and of course, if any, they lack in these areas, or, you know, maybe that's no reason to not appreciate them, or, you know, of course, there's many other reasons why you should appreciate your parents. I'm just going to touch on three things right this morning about the faithfulness of fathers, a father's faithfulness. And starting out, I want to point out that, you know, faithfulness is an attribute of God. You know, it's something that we should all, of course, try to, you know, emulate, to have in our own lives. It's a characteristic that, you know, we should all seek to have, to be faithful. But I believe it's something that's especially important in that of fathers as well. The Bible says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, God is faithful. Of course, God is our Father, and he is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And I want to point out the fact here in Deuteronomy that, you know, there are consequences for taking the faithfulness of God for granted. You know, it says there in Deuteronomy that God keeps covenant and mercy to them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. But if you look there in verse 10, it says, you know, he's faithful also, what, to verse 10, repayeth them that hate him to their face. You know, so we should not take God's faithfulness for granted. God is going to be faithful to us. He's going to, you know, keep covenant and mercy with us, you know, if we love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. You know, that's the good side of God's faithfulness. But you know what? God is also faithful to chasten and punish, and to repay them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the judgments and the statutes and the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. So, you know, Moses here is pointing out the fact that, you know, God is faithful, and that's something that's either going to work for you in life, or that's something that's going to work against you. You know, and again, faithfulness is an attribute of God, but I'm applying it this morning to our earthly fathers. And there's a lot of, you know, correlation here as well. You know, if we have a faithful father, a lot of these same things apply, you know, in the short term. You know, if we have a faithful father, he's going to bless us and be merciful unto us. And he's, if, you know, if we keep and obey his commandments here on earth, not just God. But then, you know, if we disobey our father, and he's a faithful father, he's supposed to be, and he deal with us appropriately. You know, that's what a faithful father do. That is the faithfulness of a father. It's an attribute of God, but it's also something that God, our fathers here on earth will do as well. If you look there in Proverbs chapter 20, should you go there again, keep something in Deuteronomy chapter 7, but go to Proverbs chapter 20. You're going to want to bookmark Proverbs as well. Just put something in Deuteronomy. Otherwise, you're going to have, you know, your fingers all over the place. But I'm only going to have you in two other places this morning. So don't worry, you'll still be able to manipulate, you know, your drink and beverage afterwards. I won't cause you to cramp up or anything like that. But you're there in Proverbs. We're going to come back to Proverbs again later. I'm pointing out this morning, you know, that fathers are faithful. At least they ought to be. Like God is faithful. And that is something, you know, that is a blessing to us. It's not something that we should take for granted. You know, and hopefully we're fortunate enough to have, you know, faithful fathers here on earth. You know, not everybody has them. Not everybody has, you know, a father in their life. Not everybody has a father in their life that's faithful, that wants to, you know, is looking out for their best. I mean, maybe they're present, you know, maybe they're a part of their life, but they're so distracted with their career or their hobbies or other interests that they're not really, you know, looking out for their own family even. That could be something that's out there as well. You know, but if we're fortunate to have faithful fathers this morning, you know, we ought to not take that for granted. We ought to make sure that we appreciate that and understand, you know, really what a treasure you have in a faithful father, because they are increasingly rare and becoming more so as we go on. If you look there in Proverbs 20, verse 5, you know, this idea of this being scarce, of this being a rare thing, is kind of spread out here over a couple of these verses. It says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. So he's saying there that counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. You know, it's not always there on the surface. You know, having a faithful father, having somebody who has wisdom and knowledge, understanding, you know, it's kind of there. It's not right there on the surface to be seen. You know, you don't really know where it is. It's something you're going to have to kind of find out. You're going to have to be somebody who draws it out. It's not just always apparent. Look at verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? A faithful man, who can find? You know, faithful men are increasingly rare. They're not easy to find. You know, it says the same thing of the virtuous woman, that her price is far above rubies, right? Because she's precious, she's rare, she's hard to find. You know, not everybody in life is a faithful person. Most people will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Most people are more than willing to tell you how great they are. But you know what? Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. Somebody who really has a real knowledge, real understanding, real wisdom to impart isn't going to be somebody that just goes out and just spreads that all around, because they know you know, to not speak in the ears of a fool, to not cast their pearls before swine. So again, you know, this idea of faithfulness being is shown here to be something that's rare, something that's not there on the surface, something that's hard to find. So if you have a father this morning who's faithful, you ought to be thankful for that. I said, if you have a father this morning, you ought to be thankful for that. Thank you. You ought to be thankful for fathers who are faithful this morning. The just man walketh in his integrity, but his children are blessed after him. The just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. See, a faithful man, you know, isn't just there, you know, out for his own. You know, this is why you ought to be thankful for a faithful father this morning, because his children are the ones that are blessed after him. You know, his children are the ones that are going to benefit from that deep counsel, that's like deep water in his heart. They're the ones that are going to benefit from the fact that they have somebody who is rare and hard to find. You know, it's their children that are going to be blessed as a result. A faithful father, or a father's faithfulness, as the title of this morning's sermon is that it's a blessing to their family. A father's faithfulness is a blessing to his family. And I want to talk a little bit this morning about a father's faithfulness. And what does it mean for a father to be faithful? And it's actually very practical. It's very practical points. And really, I'm just trying to drive home the fact that, you know, if you have this in your life, you ought to be thankful for it. And if you are a father, you know, you should strive to be these things, of course. And we should always, you say, well, that doesn't apply to me. You know, I don't have a faithful father. I'm not a faithful father myself. But as I started this morning, you know, faithfulness is an attribute of God who is our Father. So we can always praise God for the fact that, you know, He is going to be faithful to us, that we are, as His children, will be blessed after Him. Okay? The first point of a father's faithfulness that I want to point out is that a father is faithful to be present. Just the fact that a father is there is a blessing. Just the fact that a father has taken the time to go ahead and have children and stick around and raise them and be a part of their children's lives is a blessing. You know, that's something that we ought to be thankful for. Because the fact is that many people today, they have the absentee father. They have the father who is not part of their life. And let me tell you something, as much as the world wants to just downplay the importance of a father this morning, as much as they just want to make dads look like a bunch of bumbling idiots on their sitcoms and their cartoons and their movies and everywhere else where they just want to treat dads like just some, you know, castaway and unnecessary thing, I'm telling you that a father is probably one of the most, if not the most important person in a person's life. Their father and their mother, they're incredibly important. And as we see fathers being, you know, disregarded and undervalued today, and then we scratch our heads and look around and wonder why we're at where we're at in this country. Why we have so many, you know, effeminate men out there. You know, and I use that term loosely when I say men. We have, you know, young men, boys that are growing up that don't even know how to act like a man because dad's just not around. You know, not having a father just there. And I'm saying, not even if he's the most godly man, not even if he's a Christian, you know, even if you just have a father who's just there, who's just part of your life, who's just trying to be an influence on you as a father the best he knows how, you ought to be thankful for that. You say, well, my dad's not perfect. You know, my dad's not saved. My dad doesn't go to church. My dad does this or that. You know what? So what? You know, hopefully that changes. You know, I'm not excusing all of that, but you know what? Don't let that give you an attitude of, well, you know, I can just blow him off then and get and being ungrateful towards your father. You know, you ought to bless your father. You ought to bless your father and mother. Why? So that your days may be long upon your life, upon the earth. That your life might have a long life. You know, that's a commandment of God. To honor your father and your mother. And if you don't do that, you know, Bible's kind of showing us that, you know, life's probably not going to go so good for us. You know, that fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and thy days long upon the earth. There's no stipulation there, of course, unless your dad's not perfect in every way. You know, if your dad has some flaw, if your dad has some shortcoming, you know, then you need to, you know, then that's just off the table. Then you can just treat him however you want. No, that's not what it says. And if you have a father in your life that's at least at the bare minimum present and trying to be a part of your life, you ought to be thankful for that. Because I'm telling you, you know, a lot of people don't have their father at all. So there's people in this world, they don't even know who their dad is. Or they know who he is, but he's a stranger to them. And he's not there to show them the pitfalls of life and to guide them and to instruct them and to give them wisdom and to try to teach them and try to instruct them. Say, oh, my dad, you know, he has all these rules. He's always coming down on me. Good. Good. You know what? You might not appreciate it now, but you'll appreciate it later. You know, when he's trying to help you and instruct you and teach you, you know, so that you can be a better person and an adult. You know, dads aren't there to just, you know, entertain you 24/7. They're not just there to help you, you know, make sure you have just the most fun all of the time. What they're there to do is to if they're faithful, what they're there to do is to turn you out into a responsible adult. You know, that's their goal. Let me not raise a loser. Not raise, you know, someone who's going to just be a burden on society. Let me raise somebody who's actually going to be you know, godly and helpful and you know, carry on a good name. You know, you should be thankful for a father who's faithful to at least be present in your life at a bare minimum. And, you know, this is something that, again, people undervalue today and people don't understand the importance of it in the world, generally speaking. And they don't understand that, you know, a father's just his mere presence alone gives great confidence. You know, just a father being there, you know, gives a lot of confidence to his children and to his family. You know, I think about sometimes when I travel, you know, my wife, you know, sometimes will you know, if I'm gone for very long or some great distance away, you know, she gets a little, you know, and this isn't a flaw of hers, this is perfectly natural. You know, she gets a little anxious about the fact that, you know, the man of the house is gone. You know, that I remind her that, you know, we've got several guns and locks, and we live in a neighborhood. If you start screaming your head off and something happens, you know, someone will come along, right? But, you know, that's a natural, that, you know, that confidence isn't there as much. You know, if the kids, even, you know, a little bit of a funny story, you know, my kids will tell me from time to time, you know, I woke up in the night and I was afraid, then I heard Dad snoring. They send that to me, you know, from across the house. And I'm kind of like, man, I should probably go see the doctor. You know, but we have tall ceilings, you know, there's a lot of reverberation. Sound carries very well in our house. That's true. I'm not just saying that. But then they'll wake up, you know, after a nightmare or something, and then they'll just hear me, you know, they'll hear that bear in the other room sawing logs or whatever, and it's like, oh, Dad's here. You know, and that, what is that? That's just the fact that I'm present. I didn't get up and soothe them and tell them everything's okay and try to, you know, help them. You know, I just was there. You know, and a father's presence, his faithfulness to just be present, brings confidence into people's lives. You know, when you're somebody that grows up with a father, especially, you know, men, if you're a young man, you grow up without a father, you know, you got to figure out a lot of things the hard way. You know, you get out into the workforce, you get around other men, you know, you don't have the confidence that, you know, somebody else who grew up with a strong masculine presence in their life, you know, has. You don't have that same confidence. That's something you have to kind of develop. And there's other things, obviously, that can help that. We can have other strong male influences in our lives that will help with that. But I'm saying there's nothing beats, you know, the presence of a good father, of a father being faithful to just simply be present. I mean, isn't faithful, again, faithfulness is an attribute of God. And God told Joshua, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. What's he saying? I'm going to be there, Joshua. When you're leading them into the promised land, I'm going to be there for you. Did I have you go to Hebrews? You got to go to Hebrews. Keep something in Proverbs. He's saying, I'm going to be there for you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And then what's he say next? Be strong and of a good courage. He's saying, look, I'm going to be present. I'm faithful. And because I'm present and just because I'm faithful, just because I'm giving you the assurance that I'm here, I can tell you, I can command you, in fact, to be strong and of a good courage. You know, a father, when he's present, you know, that gives confidence. If you have that in your life, you ought to be thankful for it. Thankful for a father that's just there. Well, you know, he might not be everything you want him to be, but at least he's there. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. He says in Hebrews 13, verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such thing as you have, for he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What gives us that boldness? The fact that we know that God is there. That we have a Heavenly Father who's there that will never leave us, that will never forsake us, that will give us the things that we need and will help us. Not all the things that we want. Not all the things that we want, the things that we need. He knows what things we have need of before we ask Him. And some of the things we want aren't necessarily things that we need. And isn't that the same in our earthly relationship too? My dad, you know, he doesn't give me this and he doesn't give me that. Yeah, but does he give you the things that you need? Then you ought to be thankful. But notice that boldness comes again, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, because of the fact that we know that He is there. The Father's presence gives confidence. Let me move on to my next point. That was a pretty basic one. You know, our fathers are faithful to be present, and that is a blessing to their families. Not only that, again, these are very practical. A father is not only present, but it's also a father ought to be faithful to provide. He is faithful to provide. You know, and of course, this is something that fathers are commanded to do, right? This is something that, you know, if a man doesn't do this, it's kind of a shameful thing, or at least it ought to be. Of course, you know, it is, but it used to be the prevailing sentiment in society for a long time. You know, that if you were on welfare, that if you were just taking the government dole and just kind of being a bum, and not taking your, you're just fathering children everywhere. You know, you're running out on your wife. You're leaving her high and dry. You know, that was a very shameful thing. And it still is. It's just, it's not something that, you know, is as frowned upon as much, I think, in society, although it's very prevalent. We know that the Bible tells us that if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I mean, the Bible says if you don't provide for your own house, you're worse than, you know, an unfaithful heathen in God's eyes. But that doesn't mean that that provision that God or that the Father provides should go unappreciated. You know, dad comes home from a long, hard day of work, you know, you ought to show some respect. Not just say, well, I'm glad you did what you're supposed to, dad. Well, it looks like you got dirty out there. That's more like it. You know, did you work hard today, dad? You know, obviously no child would ever even dream, I would hope, of saying such a thing to their father. But could we develop an attitude of that? Well, yeah, you know, that's what dads do. They just go to work. It's kind of what they're supposed to, like as dad, that's just what they want to do with their life. They just jump out of bed first thing in the morning, and they just can't wait to go and get chewed out by the boss or have to drag some other young punk around or whatever. Have to go, you know, get dirty, work hard by the sweat of their brow. You know, that's just, and they get to do it for the rest of their life. You know, I mean, I still remember being told that as a young man by my dad. Some of the advice he gave me that really burned in there. He said, life's going to be long, you're going to work hard, and you're going to hate it every day of your life. And I said, that's a hell of a thing to tell an 8-year-old. Well, I was 18, sorry. But it's true, you know, and fathers do that not just because that's their job, you know, of course that's why they do it, but, you know, that doesn't mean they should go unappreciated. You know, if you have that, if you have a father that there is just present and just paying the bills. He's putting food on the table, clothes on your back, a roof over your heads. You know, you ought to be thankful for that. Would we take God's provision for granted? And we do. I mean, this is something that people do. I mean, we're breathing his air. We're walking around on his earth in a body that he gave us. Absorbing the sunlight that he put out there. I mean, everything, you know, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God has given us our very breath. You know, he causes the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. You know, even the heathen out there, he's taking care of every day. But do they turn around and ever thank him? You know, we, even as God's children, can start to develop that same attitude where we're not thankful for the things that God just provides for us every single day. And no matter how bad things get, you know, we could always look at the good things that God has given us and express gratitude towards the Lord. And no matter how, you know, hard-nosed our fathers might come across, no matter how strict they might be, no matter, you know, how, you know, much of a disciplinarian they might be, you know, we ought to be thankful for them. Because, you know, they're doing all that out of love, and they're taking care of us. And if they're not a lot of these other things that, you know, the Bible wants, you know, we would like to see from them, again, still, we should be grateful people. We should be people that are appreciative of them. You know, maybe they're not the godliest, greatest people, but, you know, if they're paying for things, if they're working hard, you know, that's reason to call them up and say, Happy Father's Day. You know, not just today, but to have an attitude in general that appreciates your father. That provision should not go unappreciated. The Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in, by glory in Christ Jesus. You know, it's hard work to provide for your family. It's very difficult. I mean, that's part of the curse, right? If we went back to Genesis chapter 3, we could read about that, where God cursed the ground for Adam's sake and said, you're going to eat of it in sorrow all the days of thy life. That it's the thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. You know, it's a lot easier back then to keep the garden, but now it's like, now you got to do some weeding too. It's not just going to be, you know, sowing and reaping. Now it's going to, you're going to have to maintain, you're going to have to trim, you're going to have to weed, you're going to have to pull up, you're going to have to tear out, and then you're going to get the rocks out, and then you get to start trying to actually, you know, grow some food for yourself. You know, going out and making a living in the world is very difficult. especially if you're in a family where, you know, they're trying to fulfill their God-given roles, where mother, as the Bible says, you know, is a keeper at home. You know, we just preached about mothers on Mother's Day. You know, she's got a lot of work to do at home. You know, she's taking care of things on the home front while dad's out trying to provide for the family. You know, that's becoming increasingly more difficult to do, you know, on a single income. Society isn't exactly set up for a single income home. You know, you look at some of these people and it's like, how do you afford all that? How do you afford everything that you have? And then it kind of dawns on you. It's like, oh, it's because they send the kids to the daycare, you know, the government daycare called public school. And then they, you know, then the mom goes out and works a second job. And they have twice the amount of money in many instances. They have a whole other income coming in. You know, that's a whole sermon right there in and of itself, isn't it? The point I'm trying to make is that, you know, it's hard for dad to go out and work hard for a living and to bring home the bacon. But you know what? What he's bringing home today in society is getting stretched thinner and thinner. So, you know, maybe you're not going to have the best of everything. Maybe you're going to have the newest and the neatest and the name brand and just, the you know, everything that you want, every toy that's out there. But, you know, if your father's going out there and working hard and being faithful to provide for you, you know, that's something to be thankful for. You know, it's hard enough to provide for ourselves. Multiply that to go out and to feed an entire family. You know, dads have to make a lot of sacrifices, don't they? They have to give up. You know, there's probably a lot of hobbies and things that they would like to do that they just have to say, well, I can't afford that. I don't have time for that. I've got a family to provide for. You say, yeah, but that's their job. Yeah, they are commanded to do it. But you know why it's commanded? Because a lot of them don't do it. Because there's plenty of fathers out there who just say, well, I know that's what I'm supposed to do, but I'm not going to do it. So, you know, if you got a father who's being faithful to provide, you ought to be thankful for that and not take it for granted. The last point I want to make is that they're not only, I think it's my last point. Do I have a whole other point here? I do. I said three. I got four. I'll move quickly, though. I know the popcorn's getting to you. Not only faithful to be present, you know, if you have a father, he's to be faithful to provide, but he's also faithful to perfect or to protect. And I'll move through this quickly. This is pretty simple. You know, they're there to protect. If you would, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Of course, you know, when I say that, probably the first thing that comes to mind is the aspect of, you know, physical protection. You know, fathers are faithful to protect. They're the, you know, the first line of defense physically. At least they ought to be. You know, husbands, if you're putting your wife out there in front of the burglar, you know, don't be surprised if she's a little upset with you afterwards. If you're hiding behind your wife and asking if it's okay to come out, you know, that's not good, right? Jesus said, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, right? Talking about the father, okay? And then he will come and spoil his house. But, you know, they're also the first line of protection spiritually, too. You know, the physical aspect, I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on, okay? Everyone kind of gets that. But they also are, you know, responsible for the spiritual protection of their family as well. And, you know, that's why dads have rules. You know, that's why parents and fathers, especially, they set up standards and rules for their family. It's not just because they're, like, sitting around going, how can I make my children miserable? How can I just get on their nerves? How can I just make life just grueling? You know, they're doing that because what they're doing is they're setting up boundaries because they know what lies outside this boundary will harm you. What I allow within this boundary could potentially harm you. So they have to set up these rules, these boundaries, for a reason. And that reason, you know, typically is for your own good. They have their family's best interests in mind. They're faithful to protect spiritually. It says in 1 Peter 3, I'll read to you, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, speaking of wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, right? So there's that physical aspect, you know, that they are to honor the physical, their wives physically, because they're the weaker vessel, right? They should take their own well-being into mind physically when it comes to their wives. But it goes on and says, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So there's a spiritual component as well that fathers have to consider when it comes to their family's protection, okay? And let me just get real practical here for a minute. because we have a lot of young ladies in this room, and my own daughters are here, okay? And we have young men in this room, you know, and it might be that these young men and young women in this room one day that might want to get married. Now, I'm not speaking for anybody, you know, anybody's home. People can do whatever they want in their own home. But this is the way it is in my home, and I think this is a good practical boundary to set up. It's called veto power. Veto power. You know, you'll hear about this, you know, in our own government. You know, they'll send a law to the president to sign off on or whatever, you know, some kind of documentation, and he'll just say, nope, we're not doing that. We're not executing that. That's no, and that's called veto power, where they can reject something, right? Well, it's the same way with dads, I believe. At least it ought to be. And, you know, this is my opinion, okay? But this is something that I believe in, is that when it comes to your spouse, you know, the spouses of your children, you should have veto power. Because that is a very, I mean, did we just read how in First Peter, I just read to you, how a husband-wife relationship is not just a physical relationship, but it's also spiritual. They are heirs together of the grace of life, okay? You know, and marriage goes way beyond the honeymoon, okay? There's a lot more to it than that. And it can have, you know, that can work either for you or against you. You know, marrying the wrong person literally will ruin your life. Marrying the wrong person can bring such heartache and difficulty and strain into your life. Or, you know, marrying the right person, well, you know, could be a huge blessing in your life. And I'm not saying, you know, if you marry the right person, you're never going to have problems. I'm just saying you're not going to have the problems that come with marrying the wrong person. The divorce and everything else that comes with it. The adultery, everything that can come along with just marrying somebody because you just like the way they look. You know, you're just focused on the physical only, okay? There are things you have to consider that, quite frankly, a lot of young people just, they can't see it. That's not to talk down to them. That's not to, you know, I'm not trying to insult you at all. I'm just saying that's the nature of reality. You know, the brains aren't fully formed, literally. You know, a lot of the neural connections still haven't been made until you're 25. There's a lot of things that you just keep on developing. You know, the body is full grown. You know, you have the body of an adult, but the mind isn't there yet. It has to catch up. You know, and this is why I think it's important for dads to have that boundary there, where they're gonna sign off on, you know, the potential husband. They're gonna sign off on that. They're gonna say, hey, yes, you may marry my daughter, or no, you may not. You know, and if you know, children are smart, you know, they will respect that decision and understand that, you know, their parents are looking out for them. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 14. It says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. You know, so what you say, well, if someone's going to date one of your daughters, Brother Corbin, you know, what's the criteria you're going to use? Well, if he's an unbeliever, I don't have to check off any other boxes. If he's not saved, if he's not a Christian, just nope. I don't want to hear about his integrity. I want to hear about what great character he has. I don't want to hear how much of an income he earns. I don't want to hear about his family. If he's not saved, it's no. He could have every other box checked, but if he's not saved, that's the first one. I'm going to say no. Because, you know, again, you say, well, why would, maybe he'll get saved. You know, maybe if he marries her, your daughter, the daughter of a preacher, he'll end up getting saved. Yeah, or maybe he'll just turn into a reprobate later. Maybe he'll hear the gospel so much that he'll just, you know, and this happens. People marry people that aren't saved, and they turn into reprobates. They go out and they get divorced and they start sleeping around with the same gender. They become, you know, pedophiles. It happens, folks. I'm not making this up. You know, so that's why, that's the first check on my list. Unsaved? No. Not happening. You know, that's probably one of the scariest things that could happen to you in life. You know, you might be saved and on your way to heaven, but you could have like your own little hell on earth on the way there by marrying the wrong person. You have children with somebody who turns out later to turn into some God-hating reprobate, some predator of your, and they're your children, and the courts are going to side with them. They're going to get with them. They're going to say no. They have access to those. That would be a living nightmare. It's a nightmare. So that's why I think it's important for dads to take on, you know, to be faithful in this area of protecting their family, not just physically, you know, more so spiritually, and having this veto power and looking out for, you know, who their children are going to marry. I think it's very important. You know, and it's biblical. He says, you know, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and as God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And notice this, wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord. He's saying, don't be with these people. He's saying, God is exercising veto power in our relationships. He's saying, don't have fellowship with the unbelieving. You don't have concord with Belial. You know, you're light. You have nothing to do with darkness. Come out from among them and be separate. He's saying, be separate and touch not the unclean, and I will see, and I will be what? A father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and my daughters. So, I mean, I see our Heavenly Father exercising veto power in our relationships. And I think that's perfectly right and good for a father to do in his own home, to protect his children. You know, and when it comes to sons, I don't know, I don't want to get all into that. They got to kind of learn to be their own man. They should definitely heed the advice. But if they're at the point where they're getting married, they're kind of their own man. They're kind of becoming their own, but obviously we still want to advise our sons and say, this is not a good idea, warn them. But, you know, I'm saying with my daughters, because here's the plan for my daughters. They're going to live with me until the day they get married. So, well, what about college? What about a career? It's not happening for them. They're going through college, and, you know, they're getting their schooling now. You know, and I'm not saying that we're not educating them. They're getting an education, believe me. They're doing the homeschooling. You know, my kids could tell you some things. You know, they tell me things. I'm like, man, I forgot about that. You know, history, math, and things like that. They're educated. They're not going to grow up and be dumb girls. They're intelligent. You know, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to encourage them to go out and make their life about making money. You know, and they're going to have a job. It's called being a wife. Being a wife and a mother, which is a job. And it's a tough one. You know, and it's not one that's, you can get a break from. Okay, so they're getting their preparation now. But you know what? Until the day that, you know, she says I do, and that finger, you know, gets that ring, that's, you know, she's living in my house, under my authority, under my rule, and I don't care if you like that or not. That's the way it is. It's my house. I'll do what I want. They're my kids, but I think I'm right. I think I'm biblical, in fact, and looking out for them. And that if some young guy wants to come around and date my daughters, you know, he better come correct, as they say. Right? And he better be saved. You know, and he better have his ducks lined up. Or I'm going to tip over his apple cart. I'm trying to figure it and fit in as many as I can. But you know, that's, I believe, biblical. I got to move on. I'm almost done. I keep saying that. But go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. The last point, a father's faithfulness is very practical. You know, he's faithful to be present. He's faithful to provide. He's faithful to protect. But I want to close on this thought, is that he's also faithful to punish. You know, if you can't be, you know, appreciate your fathers out of a sense of gratitude and appreciation, you know, do it out of fear. Because a faithful father is faithful to punish people, or his children. At least he should be. And that's the nature of God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5. Thou shalt also consider in thy heart, as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. And so, you know what? Consider this. You know, if you don't want to be thankful for all the good things that God is giving you in the promised land, you children of Israel, just consider this in thine heart, that just as you would chasten your son, God will chasten you. You know, and if God is, and God is using the illustration of a father to make his point that he is somebody who punishes, you know, or chastens, a punishment. You know, chastening is like a whipping. It's like getting a spanking. You know, he's using that illustration. You know, that tells me that, you know, a father, you know, should be faithful to punish his children. They should learn that there's consequences for their actions and attitudes. Because, you know, here's the thing. The world will do that for them. You know, if the parents don't do that, the world's going to teach them that. Life is going to teach them that. And it's going to be a whole lot harder. And let me just rattle off a couple quick verses here. Go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." You know, and even Christians today, they get these extra biblical ideas about how to raise children. And they say, "Well, I'm not going to spank my kids. I'm just going to give them a timeout. Or I'm going to give them medication. Or I'm just going to speak, you know, I'm just going to speak words of confirmation to them. You know, I'm just going to try to get them to use their words rather than to lash out, be rebellious." You know, and that's fine. You want to implement these other things, you know, do whatever you want. But not at the expense of sparing the rod. Because I don't care how good-natured that makes you feel and how much you think that's just a better way. The Bible says that if you spare the rod, you hate your son. It doesn't say, you know, he's not looking out for his son's best. It says you hate him. Because the God knows that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. You know, that's something that, you know, all parents need to get into their heads and understand and how very literal the Bible is speaking here about a rod and spanking and correction, about physically disciplining your children, driving the foolishness out of their heart. The Bible, I mean, he's speaking literally, okay? And he's saying, if you spare that rod, if you say, "I'm not going to discipline my children," and I got to be clear on that, because when you say, you know, parents ought to discipline their children, they just think that means that they can just make up whatever discipline they want. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches a rod. The Bible teaches an implement, you know, being applied to the seat of learning. And by the seat of learning, I mean the gluteus maximus. I mean that soft, nerve-filled part of the body called the hinder parts that everyone's born with. You know, that God has ordained to be used to drive foolishness out of your child's heart. I'm talking about a spanking, okay? And I'm taking the time and parking it there because, you know, even amongst God's people, they just want to gloss this over. You know, and people enjoy my children. I know you do. I see you doing it. People enjoy my children. I believe I have good children, and we enjoy everyone's children's church. We have great kids in this church, but you know what? The kids that turned out that way, they didn't just happen. You know, my kids, it's not genetic. I mean, obviously, right? You know, there was a lot of discipline like this involved, and there still is. You know, my wife goes out in public, "Oh, you have such well-behaved children. Oh, I wish my kids were like that." And, you know, they're watching their kids just go ape, throwing themselves in the ground, having to put, you know, 5-6-year-olds in a cart. Just an embarrassment in public. "I want it! I want it! I want it!" That'll never happen to me. Oh, really? I bet you think that's why it's like that? Those parents are like, "That's what I want.
I want it! Don't give it to me!"
Top of their lungs. I mean, it's embarrassing. You see that in public. Aren't you embarrassed for those people? Like, man, you got to get in the car with that thing? And you have to take it home? It's like, did you get it wet? Did you feed it after midnight? Like, it's a little, you got a gremlin. You don't have a child. But people, they go, "Oh, I wish my kid was more like yours." Well, here's the answer. Here it is. Here's the dirty little secret that, you know, most churches don't even want to tell you these days. You got to spank them. And I'm not saying this little through the diaper stuff, I'm saying a spanking where it stings. And look, this deserves a whole sermon. I shouldn't even just wing this out there, because, you know, that's when you start to tread out into those waters of how much, when, for what, and we'll cover all that. You know, just stick around. I'm making the point that, you know, a part of a father's faithfulness is not just to be present, it's not just to provide, it's not just to protect, but it's also to punish. You know, fathers should be faithful to punish. It says there in Proverbs 23, verse 13, "Withhold not the correction from the child." Don't withhold correction. You know, and people get so worried when they have kids. They're like, "Well, how am I going to know when to do it?" It's like, "Oh, he'll know. Oh, he'll know." Because you'll be saying, because if you're like, "Should I withhold?" That's when it's time. And you say, "No, don't withhold." Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from hell. Say, how does that work? Well, what you're teaching your children is there's consequences for your actions. And you're punishing them, you're chastening them just like God chastens us. And you're teaching them that God isn't just this, you know, immutable, unnameable, you know, just kind of, you know, benign force in the universe that's in everything. And you're not teaching them, oh, it's like Star Wars or something. You know, it's this Eastern mystic approach to the Lord, or who God, you know, or what God is. You know, no, God is a who. And God is a God that gets angry and upset, yes, and is loving and merciful and kind, but also there's another side to God that chastens his children and that will punish iniquity. You know, and that's what we're teaching. We're not just getting the behavior we want out of them, but we're also teaching them that just like I chasten you, so will God. And that's how beating your children, you know, and I know that word beat has another connotation today, but what it means, he's talking about with the rod, he's talking about a spanking. You know, not just, you know, like pummeling your children with fists or something, but he's, you know, but if you do that, if you beat him with the rod, that's how you're going to deliver his soul from hell. You don't get saved through spankings, but you know what? You teach them something about the nature of who God is. You know, and here's the thing. The Bible says, chasten thy son while there is hope. Meaning, there gets a point where it's too late. You ever try to beat a grown man? Because that's what your son's going to be one day. He's going to be a grown man. All right, you misbehave. Let's come get, now I'm going to start spanking you. It's too late. Now you're going to have to literally wrestle him. Now he's going to spank you. Right? While there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. You know, spank them early, you know, and this is a whole other sermon. I really got to move on. But notice in verse 19, and I'll just read to you. In verse 19 it says, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, that thou must do it again. You know, if you don't chasten your children, others will. Chasten your son while there's hope. Why? Because a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. If you don't teach your children to exercise restraint and to not misbehave and not to just think that they can just do whatever they want without consequences, they're going to suffer punishment. They're going to end up in the jailhouse. They're going to end up in the prison. They're going to end up in debt. They're going to end up, you know, having all these problems that the world's going to bring upon them and enforce upon them because you failed to teach them this. You know, fathers ought to be faithful to punish, because if they fail to do so, others will. And, you know, and God will continue to chasten us as needed, right? And I don't have time to read to you from Hebrews, but the Bible says that the Lord loveth whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he scourges every son whom he receiveth. You know, and he does that, why? Because it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness in our life. You know, dads don't just punish us for their own, you know, for their own sake, their own children. And a lot of times, yeah, we do, honestly. It's like, all right, you can't just wake up at 2 a.m. and start screaming your head off. And if I need to give you a spanking to snap you out of that and realize that, then that, you know, so that I can get a full night's sleep, that's what I'm going to do. You know, but ultimately what punishment does is it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. It teaches us so much about who God is. And who is God? He's somebody who's faithful. Faithful to do all these things, to provide, to protect, and to punish him. You know, and if we don't have an earthly father who's doing these things for us, we can at least be thankful this morning for the fact that we have a heavenly father that's doing it. You know, and if we are fathers, you know, let's make sure these are things that we're doing. And if we're fortunate and blessed enough to have fathers that do these things, that provide, protect, and punish, you know, we ought to be thankful for that. Because all those things are done for our own benefit. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, again, thank you for our fathers. Thank you for being a father unto us. I pray you'd help us to honor them and you and understand that both are looking out for our own good. And Lord, in the long term, we pray you just bless us now in Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll go ahead and sing one more song before we go.